In Florida, you'll find the environment to inspire what's inconceivable, the chance to explore what's inexplicable, and the space to accomplish what's unimaginable. You'll no longer have to wait for the future. You can harness it. Florida, the future is here.
There's too much bad news to give a boost to the stock market, or to boost interest rates for that matter. We'll talk with Paul Vigna in a moment.
This is Your Money Matters from the Wall Street Journal.
Welcome to Your Money Matters. I'm Charlie Turner in New York. After rising to record levels earlier this summer, the U.S. stock market has sputtered as of late. It's not hard to see why. There's plenty of bad news for investors to digest, according to Paul Vigna, Wall Street Journal reporter and host of the Money Beat podcast. Paul, with all this talk of a possible interest rate increase, you feel there are a lot of negative signs that don't exactly make the case for an interest rate hike, correct?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think we're kind of at a situation where, once again, the sort of the main bulk of all the economic data points to a really kind of a stagnant economy at best. I mean, not an economy that is growing very strongly. Basically, a 1% GDP economy, which is what we've had for the past 9 months, which is not good. And that's sort of counteracted by what has generally been a series of pretty strong jobs reports. So that's where we find ourselves again. On Thursday, you had some data out, and these were not, you know, the reports that came out on Thursday were not as big as the jobs report. But the picture they painted was one of an economy that is kind of just muttering along, barely showing any signs of actual growth. And it's the kind of thing that the Federal Reserve has been holding off on raising interest rates because of the economy.
Well, it seems like there's not enough here to support strong job growth or a strong economy. I mean, you tick off quite a few things. Productivity dropped 0.6% in the second quarter.
Right.
That's pretty significant.
Yeah. Well, and the funny thing is that was a revision of the initial report. And usually revisions don't get a lot of attention. And the headline productivity number was revised to negative 0.6 from negative 0.5, which isn't that much of a number. But the numbers within it were revised sharply. Unit labor costs were revised to, I believe it was 4.3%, up 4.3% from up 2%. And the other one was inflation-adjusted hourly wages were revised to a positive 1.1% rate growth rate from the initial estimate of a negative 1.1. So what you see there is you see unit labor costs going up, obviously where they thought they were going down before, but productivity is going down. The fear there is that that's going to put a squeeze on profit margins at companies, which is going to inhibit them from investing back into their businesses, which has been a problem this entire recovery. Companies have not been investing in expansion, and that is really, that is the first thing you need to really spark an economic growth cycle. You need companies investing in their businesses, which means that they're hiring people, which means that they're putting more wages into their pockets, which means that those employees can then go out and spend the money and they increase the profits and the companies can then put more money back into their businesses and you get this whole kind of virtuous circle. And that's not happening. And the productivity report was another sign that we're kind of in a situation where you can end up with a sort of stagflationary situation.
Yeah, so I was just going to say, you quoted somebody in the piece talking about a stagflation trap.
Yeah. Joan McCullough from a small shop called Longford Associates. She's a really smart person, actually. She's been in the business for a long time. So that's a dilemma. That's something that the Fed has been talking about for months and months and months. They've been talking about the fact that we need business investment. They need companies to start putting money into their businesses, and they're just not doing that right now.
So that's the most important piece of news for you out of today, is that inflation note within the productivity report?
Yeah, that's an important one. Also, then you had the ISM manufacturing index, which is ISM is Institute for Supply Management, and they do this monthly survey where they talk to supply managers. They talk to managers at businesses, and it's a It's basically just a survey. It's not really measuring actual activity levels. It's what they call a diffusion index. It's really kind of measuring sort of the rate of growth. So every month they take these surveys, they plug a bunch of numbers in, and they see how different it is from the month prior. And what they found this time was that the index number they spit out is usually somewhere around the 50, between 50 and 60, 40, you know, whereas 50 represents the line between an expanding manufacturing sector and a contracting manufacturing sector. And we've been kind of puttering along in the low 50s, which is not terrible. And people thought the number would be 52, and it turned out to be 49. So you now have a situation where you look at manufacturing sector, and you see the manufacturing sector coming down a little bit. And that was reflected in, you had auto sales today that were not great. They showed a slight deceleration. So there's a problem. So now you look at manufacturing and you think, oh, well, there's another problem.
Well, we're in the start of September right now, deep into the second half of the year. And I recall a lot of people telling me that they predicted that, you know, growth would pick up sometime in the second half. And it seems like we're getting lots of signals indicating that that is just not the case.
Yeah. And I have to tell you, you hear that. I've been hearing that for virtually 20 years. Even when the economy is good, I always talk about the second half is going to be better. You know, the second half is always this like magical place where everything that went wrong in the first half suddenly corrects itself. And it's just, yeah, you look at the data and it's just, it doesn't seem like it's going to happen. People are still expecting good GDP numbers, but with these recent, with the data today, one firm that I follow said that, you know, you look at the data now and you can argue that you're going to have another 1% GDP number for the third quarter, which is, we've already had three straight quarters of growth that's been just about 1%. And 1% GDP growth is just not good. For most people, the effective difference between a 1% GDP growth rate and a negative GDP growth rate is just indiscernible. I mean, the economy just isn't growing for people. And if you're not going to see wages rising sharply, you're not going to see a lot of economic activity, you're not going to see any kind of the hallmarks of a strong economy that you want to see when growth is only at 1%. That is the problem. That's the problem we've had all year. And that is what has been keeping the Fed from pulling the trigger on a second rate hike.
Paul Venia, Wall Street Journal reporter and host of the Money Beat podcast. Thank you for joining our podcast.
Always happy to help out.
And that's this edition of Your Money Matters. Thank you for listening. I'm Charlie Turner at the News Desk in New York.
For more podcasts, check us out at wsj.com/podcasts. Become a subscriber on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and now look for us on the Google Play Music app on Android devices.